The Nazis, wherever they went, they set up ghettos here in Vilna, and they set up Jewish self-governments in the ghettos. These were known as Judenrat. The head of the Judenrat in Vilna was a tragic figure, and I'm not coming to condemn, and I'm not coming to praise. I'm coming to present the facts as I know them. His name was Jacob Jens, a very wonderful man and a great man, except in the moment he became head of the Judenrat. Jacob Jens. And Jacob Jens had the same problem that Rumkowski had. No, he was not a Shomer Torah Mitzvah. He was a proud Jew, but not a Shomer Torah Mitzvah. No, knowledgeable person, able person, in his 20s, when he was appointed head of the Judenrat by the Nazis. And he complied with the demands of the Nazis. Every time the Nazis came, they said, hand over 5,000 people, hand over 6,000 people, hand over 10,000 people. He handed them over. He called for volunteers, and often they were volunteers, and sometimes they weren't volunteers. And the Rabbanim came to him, and they told him this is against Halakha, and he smiled at the Rabbanim. And please try to understand, Baruch Hashem, no one in this room has been put to the test. But this man was put to the test. And this man had to make very hard decisions, had to weigh what would happen in the Jewish community. He refused to comply with it. In October of 1942, I'm just going to give you one case. Nazis came to Gens, and they told them of the 2,300 Jews in Oshmiami. Oshmiami is a little town near Vilna, 25 miles southeast of Vilna. Of the 2,300 Jews in Oshmiami, 1,500 had to be handed over to be killed. Again, sent a committee of the Judenrat from Vilna to Oshmiani to arrange for the surrender of the 1,500 people. But in Oshmiani, there was a Judenrat, a local Judenrat. And the local Judenrat in Oshmiani refused to hand over the 1,500 people. And so Gens's police officers came back, the Jewish police officers, and told them they won't cooperate. Gens went to Martin Weiss, the Nazi and head of all operations, the head of Fenari at the time. And he told Weiss, I can't hand him over. Oshmiani refuses to hand him the other. And there's no parallels in this case. It's Martin Weiss, and I'm going to read the exact words that they're written here. Martin Weiss agreed to reduce the number of victims to 400. He refused to hand over 1,500, so he said, I'll take 400. Provided they are killed by the Jews themselves. We will hand over now 400 fighters, not 400 prisoners. Why the Nazis agreed to reduce the number of victims can only be guessed. It can be little doubt that they were influenced by practical considerations, namely that if they sent their own men to carry out the selection, a large number of Jews would manage to escape into the forests surrounding Oshmiani, as had been the case with other rural ghettos in the Vilna region. Gens agreed to the bargain, and he sent Dessler and his Jewish police, 30 Jewish policemen, to Oshmiani. The Jews of Oshmiani were overjoyed at the arrival of Jewish policemen. They were convinced that their presence meant safety, and therefore refused to heed the warnings of others who warned them otherwise. Dessler, this is the head of the Jewish police, and his policemen spent several days in the ghetto drinking, carrying on. And then, having lulled the local Jews into a full sense of security on 23 October, ordered them to assemble in the marketplace and selected over 410 sick and old people. These Jews were put into peasant carts and driven to a place 5 miles from the town where 7 ghetto policemen, meaning Jewish policemen, and 8 Lithuanians carried out the tickets. The 400 bodies were handed over to Marx. The Oshmiani massacre appears to be unique in the history of the Jewish ghetto police, for their function was to provide the victims, not to kill them. That was on October 23. On October 27, Jens called a meeting of the Judenrat members to explain what happened. Life in the ghetto went on. In this Vilna ghetto, while this was happening, there were people learning in yeshivas. Day schools were continuing.